Hi, Sig. Thanks for calling in and thanks for your patience, sir.
Thank you, Doc. I got a 74-year-old female cousin got hit with autoimmune disease about 4 years ago, put her in a wheelchair. Now she's walking with a cane with difficulty and has autoimmune suppressant drugs going on.
That figures.
I just wondered about the nature of that disease and prevention of treatments.
Well, sir, you said nature. I like that because here's what nature does to autoimmune disease. And I know your sister is 74, but bear with me. We will get to her as soon as we tell you what nature does to autoimmune disease. Now, we're probably familiar with the fact that for every one guy who gets autoimmune disease, why, six or seven ladies get autoimmune disease. It's very sexist, it's very unfair, and the Seattle City Council should pass a resolution against it. But that won't do much good because nature's been that way for ever since there's been nature. Many more women get autoimmune disease than men. So, how does nature temporarily cure, and I'll get to permanently in a bit, temporarily cure autoimmune disease? By having the woman get pregnant. Time after time, pregnant women with autoimmune disease notice that it fades, sometimes completely, sometimes partially, whilst they're pregnant. And then, when the baby's delivered, the doggone thing comes back. Well, researchers went to work to find out why that was, sir. And I know a 74-year-old woman is never going to get pregnant, but here's what the researchers found. She doesn't have to. She and her doctor can help her apply the same, very same things that nature applies when a woman's pregnant. They happen to be called estriol, which is one of the three major estrogens, and it's anti-carcinogenic, so we're not risking much by using it. They're called estriol, and they're called, of all things, HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin. Now, Dr. Nancy Sokote from UCLA worked with six women with multiple sclerosis that was so bad they were disabled, they were in wheelchairs. And one of the things she did is to have them do all MRIs of their brains. And they did. And they had severe multiple sclerosis, so they had significant lesions all around the brain of multiple sclerosis. So then what did Dr. Nancy Sokote do? She copied nature. She had them all take a relatively large but not harmful dose of estriol. And after 4 to 6 months, sir, I forget which, Dr. Sokote said, let's do another MRI of the brain, and doggone it, 75%, and I'm getting excited here because this is never applied in conventional medicine, but there it is in the research literature from UCLA, 75% of those lesions of MS in the brain were gone. Did I say gone? Yes, I did, because they were gone. Yeah, with the use of estriol. Now, let's go to the HCG part, which is made mostly by the placenta. In the 1980s, the early 1980s, 81, 82, something like that, some other researchers took the blood cells, the white blood cells, which are the cells of the immune system, from women and from men. And these were women who had autoimmune disease, and they were men. One, actually, not a few, yeah, definitely less men, who had autoimmune disease. And what did they do? Why? Simply they expose them to HCG, which is what happens when a woman's pregnant. Her white blood cells get exposed to HCG. Now, nature was sexist and unfair here too, because when those women's white blood cells were exposed to HCG, oh my goodness, the autoimmune aspects of those white blood cells started fading away. No kidding. And guess what? With the guy, it didn't do a darn thing to his immune cells, because guys don't get pregnant. Guys aren't accustomed to having HCG in their bodies, unless they get cancer or something. That's a different story. But if nature doesn't usually put HCG into men. It does put bunches into women when they're pregnant. So, sir, I have worked with a number of women with autoimmune disease of all ages, because you can do estriol and HCG when you're 83. No kidding. Or 101 if you still have autoimmune disease by that age. The combination of those two things is not necessarily a cure, but it certainly does improve things a bunch when it doesn't cure. And then we come over to a conventional medicine thing that apparently is being ignored in her case because they're using immune suppressors. There's something out there called low-dose naltrexone. And naltrexone was originally a patent medicine to stop people from drinking alcohol, but people took it. They couldn't drink alcohol, and so they didn't like that, so they quit taking it. But some really fantastically genius neurologist, I think in New York City, found that if they went to a really low dose, that it actually would cause favorable, and I did say favorable, activation of the immune system. In other words, the autoimmune disease didn't get worse, it got somewhat better. And if you want to look that one up, all you got to do, sir, is put into your search engine in your computer, LDN, LDN, and autoimmunity, and you'll get all kinds of stuff about that. One gets it from one's patent medicine store or compounding pharmacy, which I prefer because they don't put fillers and binders in it, in a 4.5 milligram, and it really makes a noticeable difference for people who have autoimmune disease. But why aren't they doing that? Well, excuse me, because you can't patent this stuff anymore. I'm sorry, it was patented originally, but it's no longer patentable, so you can't make megabucks. And so here we go with the immune suppressors. And you know what those immune suppressors do, and I will shut up in a moment. And that is they suppress your immune system, and therefore you probably die of pneumonia or some other infectious disease. Wow, what a trade. Okay, sir, there is tons to be done for women with autoimmune disease. That's the summary sentence. Your turn.
Yeah, Doc, that's awesome. I have another quick question for you.
Yeah, I'll be right back with that after I ramble with this brief one. I'm not going to ramble. And that is, if she's got an autoimmune disease and she can get into Tahoma Clinic, all of us docs apply these things for autoimmune disease at Tahoma Clinic.
Okay, she lives down that area, so that's awesome. Another question is about magnesium. I read on ancientminerals.com that we have a hard time getting enough, and so you should rub oil on your body. Is there any truth to that?
For some of us, yes, because the doses of magnesium that some of us need, because we haven't been eating our green vegetables, in the center of the chlorophyll molecule, which is the green color, the very center of that chlorophyll molecule in green vegetables happens to be magnesium, and all of us have been eating enough green vegetables for all our lives, so we do get kind of low on it sometimes. Now, for some of us, we can swallow the magnesium, and it gets into the body and does its job, but the problem is, if we go to a relatively high dose, and no kidding, it starts at 400 to 500 milligrams for some people, what that does is it activates the bowel, but in a way we don't notice. I'm not kidding you. It doesn't give diarrhea or gas. It just makes stuff go through the bowel more rapidly than it did before. And that's why there's an article out there entitled Magnesium-Induced Magnesium Deficiency. It was about 8 people who took those amounts of magnesium, and unlike most people who take those amounts, they actually got more deficient by taking it because they made stuff rush through their bowels. So point to that, sir, is that if a person's going to take magnesium, they need to work with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine to tell them how much is enough for them. All right. Now, one can get around that, just like you said, by rubbing in the magnesium in it's called magnesium oil into the skin, or there's a magnesium gel that can be rubbed into the skin, or one can go take an Epsom salt bath, for gosh sakes, because people have been doing those for centuries, and that gets the magnesium in through the skin. And that does not activate the bowel, so we don't ever induce a deficiency. Now, I got to admit, that's only 10 to 15% of people who are going to do that, but you don't know who it is. Unless you're working with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine who could tell you how to detect it. So you're right. Swallowing some and not going very high on it and rubbing in the rest is probably the safest way to go.
Okay, thank you for both, Doc. I'm much appreciated.
Okay, and thank you for letting me carry on about the autoimmune disease and ladies, sir, because I know there's other people listening who may or may not have friends or family members with autoimmune disease, and most of them are ladies, and it really can be helped. So I'm glad we both got the word out there, sir.
You bet. That was awesome. Thanks, Doc.